We're about to read God's word. And it might not surprise you, but we are reading Romans chapter 8 as we're going through Romans chapter 8 in our sermon series. So please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read from verses 8 to verse 13. Okay, so Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live.
Well, imagine that you've boarded a plane for a long-awaited, much-anticipated overseas holiday. So, you know, you're going to some fabulous place to recharge and refresh. You're going to explore some wonderful sights of some faraway, exotic, beautiful place. But as you're flying along, a message comes across from the pilot. And the pilot says, there's been a change of plans. We've set this plane on a new course. And the pilot has decided to take you somewhere else. The pilot's plan now is to fly you into a war zone. Now, I looked up the official government travel advice for certain countries, and phrases like this I read were, regional tensions remain high. There's ongoing conflict. The situation could deteriorate, posing a serious risk to life. Do not travel due to the high threat of armed conflict, civil unrest, terrorism, and kidnapping. So imagine you think you're going on a holiday, but instead you're taken into a war zone. Now, I start with that because, as Romans 8 has been telling us, to be a Christian is to be in a situation that's really, really good. You know, promises like this, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, so to have Jesus is to have this weight lifted off. It's to have life. It's to enjoy peace with God. It's to enjoy true inner peace. But Romans 8 also tells us, to be a Christian, it means we've entered into a spiritual war zone. Danger, hostility. As we're going to get to today, says verse 12 there, I think it's on the screen, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to living according to it. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Like it says there, kill or be killed, a war zone. So in some ways today is about getting our expectations right. Getting our expectations right for the Christian life, whether you are a Christian now or even whether you're open and thinking about it yourself. Now, in Mez McConnell's book about the Christian life, and it has this title, War, Why Has Life Gotten Harder? And he tells a story about a guy named Joe from Baltimore. And Joe, the story goes, he made a profession of faith. Initially, he was really excited about his newfound faith in Jesus. He told everyone he knew that he's a Christian, told his friends, told his family, told his old drug-dealing buddies. Some people were really happy for him. Some people didn't care. Some people started mocking him on social media. He found that hard. But what Joe also found so hard was he found out that he just keeps on sinning. And Joe says, I'm constantly in a battle. Just when I have my anger under control, something else comes up in its place. Then I seem to get that under control, but then my anger comes back. I just don't seem to be able to get it together. And Joe says, does that mean I won't inherit the kingdom of God? So the promise of life in Jesus is life and peace. Life is good with Jesus, but it also gets harder. It's a spiritual war zone. Now, that's what I want us to see, and that's what I want us to get to this morning. Now, in our journey through Romans 8, we're at verse 9. And the hard stuff will come in at verse 12, but it starts with, well, it starts with the comforting stuff, the good stuff. Let's call this life with God and Christ and the Spirit. And it says there at verse 9, and we have the words on the screen if that would be helpful to you, where it says there, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Now, have a good look at this, verse 9. It says, in the realm of the flesh. You see it there, verse 9? In the realm of the flesh, or in the realm of the Spirit. You know, think realm. Actually, think, you know, a time. Think in, you know, in age and an era of power and influence. You know, like a realm, we might say, well, the bronze realm, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, the Industrial Age. What are we now in? Have we just entered the AI age? You know, with all our feelings and thoughts about that one. Well, this is saying ultimately there's only two. There's an overlapping age thing at the same time. There's the age, the realm of the flesh, and there's the realm, the age of the Spirit. But it's through Christ's work on the cross applied to us by the Spirit, so we're set free from sin and death, so we live in this new realm, this realm of the Spirit. And verse 9 says, we're in the realm of the Spirit. Think of that little word, in. Check out how verse 10 says, Christ is in you. So there's this location thing going on. You're in the realm of the Spirit. You're in, Christ is in you. And there's actually some Bible background to this. You know, there was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with God. And there was the promise that God would be with his people of Israel in the promised land. And even God would be there with his people in the temple. But in the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus to be amongst us, to die for us. And he's given us his Spirit so that we might be in his realm, under his power, and by his Spirit, Christ is in you. It's quite amazing, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever had someone come and visit you and stay with you, stay in your house. I don't know, maybe they've overstayed their welcome too, but you know, my in-laws, they come and stay with us every now and then. And it's so lovely, but I must admit, it's sort of not bad to see them go either. You know, the house is less crowded. Things just a little bit easier. Yeah, so we have all visitors that come and go, don't we? They eventually go. But this is by God's grace, he takes sinners and through Christ puts you and me in the realm, the power of the Spirit. And this is not some visitor passing through. You know, when you're a Christian, this is the Spirit of God who is in us. This is a permanent, new, living situation. This is not God just dropping by for a visit. He permanently dwells within us. How amazing is that? And before we move on, notice some of the other words of verses 9 and 10. Here we learn about God and Jesus and the Spirit. Notice the words there. We have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Christ is in you. The Spirit, this is the language of the Trinity, the three persons of the one God. They're not identical, but they are inseparable. And just see how connected, you know, Christ and the Spirit is. You can't have one without the other. So you can't believe in Jesus and not have the Spirit. You know, you can't have Christ, faith in Christ, and not be born of the Spirit. No way. If you have Christ, you have the Spirit. In Romans 8 also corrects this idea that you can have this sort of Christless spirituality. You know, people love to say that they're spiritual. You know, you like to trail your fingers through the long grass with light dappling through. You're so spiritual. If you like to travel to exotic locations, you're so spiritual. You know, people are down on organized religion. You know, if you're into pot plants, you're so spiritual. But without Christ, it's only false spirituality. To have faith in Christ is to have the Spirit of God in you. To have the Spirit is to have Christ. Okay, so we're now going to drop down to verse 12. We're now in the part that talks about how hard the Christian life is, that it's a battle, that it's a deadly war zone. And if Romans 8 so far has laid out for us that through Christ and applied by the Spirit, we have been set free from the penalty of sin and we've been set free from the power of sin, this passage tells us Christians still have to contend with the presence of sin. So we have to contend with, we have to fight against, we have to be deadly serious in our battle with the remaining active force that is sin in our lives. Let's read again verse 12. Go to it myself. Romans 8 verse 12, where it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." We have to contend with the flesh, with sin. We need to kill it, squelch it, rip it out. We need to be assassins of sin. Now, I mentioned that guy, Joe, this new Christian. And I think sometimes it's new Christians who really know the battle they're in. You know, just think about yourself. If you've been a Christian for a while now, do you think it might be easy to just sort of think, I don't know, everything's sort of settled now, and everything's sort of worked out and you're involved in church, you're very busy in church things. So what happens? You know, we sort of, oh, we're just cruising along now. Our awareness fades of the danger we're in. Yes, there's allies to our flesh. It's called the devil, the world. But it's our own sinful nature that's there, that's out to kill us. Here's a guy. His name is John Owen, from England, wrote a bunch of books around about 1665. It's sometimes really helpful to hear what old-time Christians, how they put things, how they express things. And this is what he wrote. This is the title of a book he wrote: "The Nature, Power, Deceit, and Prevalency of the Remainders of Indwelling Sin in Believers, Together with the Ways of Its Working and Means of Prevention." Now, that's not a sentence in the book. That's just the title, okay? Gives you a bit of a hint. It's rather dense writing. That's just the title. But he said a bunch of helpful things, and he said this, and it's actually pretty pithy. He said, "To be killing sin, or it will be killing you." Sin is our flesh. Sin in our flesh is active. It's alive. It's hostile. You know, if we don't feel that there's a spiritual war going on, that's a problem for us. That really is a problem for us. It's the way that your button gets pushed way too easily and you just turn into white hot anger. It's how you know you shouldn't, but oh, I don't know, you just find that gossip just so juicy. You know, you're in a conversation with someone and you say that thing that's oh so subtle. It sort of makes you feel like a servant, but actually it's your boast, so you get some credit. Her lust just drags you down again. It's the way that bitterness just fills your vision, your fantasies. You dream of the downfall of that person. Christ and his Spirit has freed us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, but the presence of sin has yet to go away. You know, John Owen, that guy, has an illustration that I think has been very useful. John Owen talks about sin in the unbelieving soul as like a dense forest, like a jungle. You know, so you think of a jungle, you know, the ground is completely covered with, you know, moss and trees and plants and vines. You know, this jungle has complete dominion over the land. No light can break in, no opposing force, no power can stand in its way. But then the gospel arrives in a person's life. The gospel breaks through. There's a new power at work now. Trees are uprooted and the light can stream in. The condemnation due to sin is washed away by Christ's blood. The dominion or realm of sin is broken. The forest begins to be cleared. A new master has come along and claims ownership now. However, some parts of the forest are still intact. Some parts of the forest are very much yet untouched. And what's more, the forest is growing. It's living. It's not going to wither and die on its own. Only the active work of the Spirit will kill off the choking, entangling sin in our lives. Killing sin, or it will be killing you. Now, the Apostle Paul says it here in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, but he says it in other places too, like in Colossians 3, where he says, "Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." You know, if you're a Christian, the old you does not want to go down without a fight. The old flesh is kicking and alive and hostile, wants our death. So we have to be ruthless with sin. We have to smash it, squelch it, not play around with it, not make excuses for it, kill it. And how do we do this? How do we kill sin? Well, I think this passage does help us. Like in verse 13, it says, "If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." It says, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That phrase, by the Spirit, Ray Galea in his book on Romans 8 speaks about this. He has a helpful illustration that speaks of the Holy Spirit's role in the Christian's life for our ongoing lifelong change. Makes the point it's not a rowboat, like a rowboat where it's all up to you. You know, it's all up to you. It's not a power boat. We just sit back and just, you know, just let it all happen. It's actually a sailboat. It's a yacht where you and the wind work together, where you are active, but the Spirit plays his part. Christians, we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to pray. We need to pray for the Spirit to direct us and shape us and change us, that we would have a heart of repentance against our sin. And this passage says more on how change happens in our life, how we're to kill sin. Do you notice at the start of verse 12, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to live according to it." So we don't have an obligation to the flesh. But by implication, what's the flip side to that? We have an obligation to God. This actually is a right and godly motivation. We are debtors to God. Not that we can pay back, or God doesn't call us to pay back for Christ's great love and sacrifice for us, but God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is our indwelling power with our new life. We owe it to God, don't we? Isn't that a motivation to kill sin? You know, our Master is not some tyrant. He's not some tyrant of our sinful flesh. Our Master is God, and we are debtors to him. I'll quote a line from John Owen again. And, you know, John Owen was a Christian who knew the deadly force of sin. He hated the remaining presence of sin that raged within him. And he said this, "What have I done? What love, what mercy, what blood, what grace have I despised and trampled on? Is this the return I make to the Father for his love, to the Son for his blood, to the Holy Spirit for his grace? Are we not obligated to the one who in love and grace has saved us? Now, to remember that our lives now belong to God, isn't that a motivation for us? When we're brought yet again to remember our God, we want to kill sin, we want to squish it, we want to squash it, we want to crush it, we want to rip sin out. The Christian life is so good, it's so good. If you're not a Christian, then put your faith in Christ Jesus, in what he has done on the cross, that you would know that Jesus is your risen Savior, your risen King and Lord. The Christian life is good. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he makes us new. But the Christian life is hard as we battle along with sin. So we actually have to be brought to the truth of the gospel again and again and again. We need to come to the scriptures privately, you know, reading God's word, reminding ourselves, praying in the light of God's word. Now, I'll put it as strongly as this. If you're not in regular contact with God's word, you're probably hardly fighting the battle. But then also coming to scriptures publicly, as we gather together and remind ourselves of what we have through Jesus. You know, I'm talking about the basic stuff here, the essential stuff, the critical stuff in God's word and church and prayer. You know, on prayer, John Piper makes the point, prayer is like a wartime walkie-talkie, not an intercom to your butler. See, any non-Christian can pray, give me a better job, give me a better health, give stuff to my kids. But Christian prayer is, hallowed be your name. You know, the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven. Christian prayer is to ask God for the strength to do the hard things. Prayer. This putting to death sin in our life, an assassin to sin, is not becoming a nicer person. It's not just becoming more self-controlled, more respectable, you know, putting in a few rules. You know, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to spend less time on the Xbox. I'm going to stop swearing. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to go to bed earlier. You know, some self-improvement is always possible with just a bit of dose of willpower. And I think of that, you know, I think of that, if our life and sin is sort of like a lawn, you know, a grass lawn with grass and weeds. And if we think of just, you know, just our willpower, putting in a few rules, I think it's like mowing over the top of it. You know how you can mow your lawn? I'm sure we all just mow a lawn. Just for a short while, it just looks great. Looks so nice and neat and respectable. Great lawn. But mowing over it is completely different to getting into it. You know, with a shovel, with a blade, you rip out the weed, you poison that weed, maybe even burn that weed. You so hate it. You're so intolerant of that spreading weed. You can't settle for it staying where it is. That's the Christian life in the power of the Spirit. What is the deadly sin that you're battling with? Be honest with yourself. I mean, I don't know, maybe you're not even aware of the sin that you should be battling with. You know, the warning of verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. This isn't a warning for those who are in the battle. It's for those who refuse to be in the battle. It's not that the many defeats are going to lead to certain death, but rather the refusal to be in the fight that's going to lead to death. When we have the Holy Spirit, the remnant of our sinful flesh is still hostile. It's alive. It's a hostile force. And therefore, we have to treat it as we are in a war zone. And each battle begins with that word of grace. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1. You know, for each battle, we need to have the gospel truth on our mind and heart. God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be our sin offering. Romans 8, verse 3. And as we stay in the fight, let's remember what Jesus and the Spirit has gifted us. Life and peace, Romans 8, verse 6. We need to keep saying the gospel to ourselves. Preach it to ourselves. Say it to ourselves. And as we battle, God our Father is never tired of saying, of us saying, I'm sorry. God our Father is never tired of us confessing our sin. With faith in Christ, we've been gifted the Holy Spirit. Sinners like us have been given new life. What a good and gracious Heavenly Father we have. Let's be in this battle together. So let's pray. Let's come now and pray. We're going to confess our sin. We're going to ask for God's help in the battle that we absolutely need. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our sin. And by the power of your Spirit at work in us, give us the strength to be in this battle, to put to death sin. Father, you know those particular sins that that trip us up, the things we do, the things we say, the things we don't do. So we come and we confess this to you. So again, Father, we thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit, for this power at work in our life. And we pray for the Spirit that he indeed would change us, that sin would be put to the sword, and so that we might live lives for you. We just thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your grace, and according to your grace, please keep changing us to be more like Jesus. By the power of your Spirit, help us to want to be in this battle, to put death to sin. Again, we thank you for Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen.